Welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by Upstate Medical University and University Hospital. Linda Cohen along with you. Developmental disorders like attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, or ADHD, and autism spectrum disorder are affecting increasing numbers of children in this country, with little known or proven about their causes. And while there may be lots of theories surrounding the cause or causes for these disorders, including some that are very controversial, that only underscores the need for more credible research efforts. Well, joining me this morning to shed more light on her research into these disorders is Dr. Yanli Zhang James, a research assistant professor at Upstate Medical University in the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences, and she's currently on the front lines for research in autism spectrum disorder and ADHD. Welcome, Dr. Zhang James.
Thank you very much, Ninda.
Let's talk a little bit about autism spectrum disorder. That's kind of a new term that's come out. I know years and years ago when I used to study this, autism was the term used, and now it encompasses a much larger group of kids. Am I correct?
Yes, it's absolutely just a whole spectrum of disorder with more or less different degrees of deficits in three primary
areas,
communication problems, repetitive behavior.
Repetitive behavior. So they'll do something continually.
Yes. They resistant to change. They just want to be everything the same. Mm-hmm. But some people are more. Some people are less.
So that I know that the symptoms can start really early, even before age three, and all kinds of delays will follow in different skills. But as you said, different people will have different symptoms. So hence the term spectrum disorder. And it strikes me then, if that's the case, it's hard to believe there's one cause for all that.
There is no one cause.
Mm-hmm, and that's where your research will come
that's
in.
That's right.
Let's just quickly talk about ADHD.
Yeah, mostly actually emphasize ADHD research.
That's mostly what you're working
yes.
on. And ADHD is attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and that's
right.
also been put together. At one time there was just mm-hmm. what we called hyperactivity,
mm-hmm.
and then there was an attention problem, and
mm-hmm.
now they're seeing that they often go together?
Yes. That's actually, there's a different subgroup of ADHD. Some people have mostly hyperactive. Some people are mostly just inattentive. Some people are combined type of, they have all three core symptoms in hyperactive, inattentive, and impulsive.
They can't control their behaviors.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so given that, how did you get interested in this kind of work?
I guess I'm always interested in nervous systems. I did my master's research in Alzheimer's disease, and then I came here to do my PhD in Parkinson's disease. But because Parkinson's disease deals with the dopamine system, and I gradually got into research with Dr. Stephen Ferrong. Interestingly, ADHD is also a hypodopamine disorder. Some similarities between ADHD and Parkinson. So
but
that's
you,
how I get started.
You got started with that in that regard, but how did you get into doing this kind of work, period? In other words, where did you start out?
I guess I'm always interested in find out what's the mechanism underlying a complex disorder.
So you're always trying to puzzle these kinds of
yeah.
complex. But what made you interested in the nervous system? As a child, can you remember being interested
yes,
in these
Yes, I have
kinds
an uncle that he's a neurologist. He's a great neurologist in China.
Mm-hmm. Were you born in China?
I was born in China.
And then at what age did you come to the States?
In 2002, I was 26.
Oh, okay. So
25.
So your education was largely in China then?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I got my PhD at Upstate in
I see. Okay. So, tell us more about your work. So you studied Parkinson's. How does Parkinson's play a role? Or how does some, you said it was a dopamine?
Hypodopamine.
What does that mean exactly?
So in Parkinson's disease, dopamine neurons in midbrain, they died. They gradually died because of multiple reasons.
What died? The cells?
The dopamine? The neurons, yes. The cells in the midbrain that produce dopamine. So you don't have enough dopamine projected to
to modulate the way you move?
That's right, mostly movement, but it's also there's a lot of cognitive dysfunctions associated with this too. so in the striatum that there's not enough dopamine projected because of neuronal knot. That's happened in Parkinson's disease, but in ADHD, the neurons in the striatum also does not have enough dopamine, but it's not because of neuronal loss, not because of cells that produce dopamine died. It's because maybe one reason may be because that dopamine got released but get uptaken too quickly.
So the problem is, you think, again, in ADHD, there's a problem with the not so much the manufacture of dopamine in the body, but the way that it's being utilized. Is that it?
You can put that way.
Mm-hmm. So what exactly are you doing? I mean, you have I recently see you've gotten an award of some kind. To do what? Mm-hmm. What's the award?
To understand one particular gene that is implicated in ADHD and autism.
So is it the same gene in both?
Yes, exactly the same gene, but in different mutations has been found in ADHD or autism patients. So I'm trying to understand why different mutations of the same gene can cause different
manifestations.
Exactly.
Hmm. Very interesting. So where is the award is for $60,000, I see, and it was a young investigator grant from
yes.
the Brain and Behavior Research Foundation.
Yes, it used to be called LARSAT.
And how long is that for? I mean,
it's only for 2 years, and it's just try to get me started. This is actually a specific project that I try to understand this gene in learning and memory process.
How do you go about doing that?
We planned to study a classic cellular mechanism that underlying learning and memory in animals. So we propose to use animals that are lockout mice. They don't have SOC99, this gene that I'm studying.
So in other words, the mice that you study don't have the gene?
Right. We genetically modify these mice so they don't express this gene in their brain.
And then what?
And then we'll look at the neurons in their brains, how they functioning. Particularly, we're looking at hippocampal neurons, how they, how their selective process associated with known-term potentiation.
So, in other words, you're taking mice who don't have this gene, and the gene that you're studying is a gene that you think may be responsible for causing ADHD or autism spectrum disorder by its absence? In other words, are you suggesting that
No, actually. So we are using this, animals don't have this gene to understand the function of the gene. And then we can
I see.
We can try to understand if there's certain mutation that happened in this gene, what's going to happen. So we're not really exactly study the disease associated mutations of the gene.
It's interesting because to me that's what translational mm-hmm. research is about. You're really looking at a mechanism for how that gene functions, mm-hmm. in this case by taking it out of the brain of the mice to see how they function, and to understand then if it should become mutated or changed in mm-hmm. a human, mm-hmm. how that affects their behavior. But first
exactly.
you have to understand what the gene does.
Exactly. So this is just the first step.
So how do you determine that? So you create mice, as you said, genetically altered, mm-hmm. and what do you have them do? How do you analyze their functioning?
You can do a lot of different. You can look at their behavior. Mm-hmm. You can take their brains out, look at their morphology, see if there's any developmental abnormalities.
What in behavior? I'm curious. How could mice behavior?
There's
relate
a lot
to human behavior.
Interesting question. Yeah, there's a lot of behavior testing that are designed to mimic the human deficits. So if you put a mouse in a chamber to see how they interact with other stranger mouse, and if they don't, and that could be autistic, because you can interpret it that as autistic behavior because they have deficits in communicating with other animals. Of course, they're communicating in a different way. They'll be sniffing, they'll be
Well, have you seen so far, this is early on in your research, I'm understanding,
yes.
but have you seen that kind of lack of communication or that unwillingness to bond with other mice?
Yes, with this is known for the rodents. They love to hang out with each other. They're social animals.
They are. So if these mice are mm-hmm. seem unflagged by others or uninterested in others, mm-hmm. you're suggesting that's a sign of that lack of that gene, perhaps?
Possibly, yes.
So how long do you think, you know, what do you hope to accomplish, actually? How long do you think it'll take you to find out the answers?
It's going to take me a whole career. I'm just doing this step by step. Right now, we're looking at this one specific gene and what they do. It's a specific mechanism. Say, this NARSAT award is, we were examining the plasticity of neurotransmission that's underlying the learning and memory.
So let's talk about that briefly, because when we say plasticity of learning, what exactly do we mean?
So, by the words. So the neurons are very adaptive.
The neurons can change themselves?
The way they're talking to each other.
I see.
Called synapses can change. One theory about learning and memory is that if a neuron that the first time a synapse happens, the intensity of the response can change the second time when they're the same stimulation.
It's interesting because it's something that you see what they call habituation. In other words, the first time a response occurs, it can be strong, mm-hmm. and perhaps the second, third, fourth, fifth, it gets less and less and less and less. Is that what you're meaning?
We're actually going
the other
direction.
It gets more intense.
Yes.
Well, that's kind of
how you retain your memory.
That's kind of almost like an allergic response in a way in the body.
Mm.
Kind of, in terms of the intensity getting greater.
Kind of.
Each time.
It's a different mechanism.
So the thought here is that each time the exposure is, the stimulation is the same, that the reaction is stronger, and hence mm-hmm. there's a lay down of some kind of a memory.
Mm-hmm. So that's a classic theory about
learning
and memory, the cellular mechanisms. I don't want to get into too much of this.
Right, the detail. But so you're hoping, I guess, to take this kind of research, this basic science research, and do what? I mean, what do you hope, how will it affect the child with autism or the child with ADHD someday?
Okay, I guess I can put it in a way that my vision of our research, the whole structure. So we took my mentor, Dr. Farong, is working with geneticists, epidemiologists, statisticians. They have been looking for risk genes for ADHD for a long time. To further identify what exactly the mutation or deletion of the gene that is associated with the disorder, and then we next put this into a cell model system, or like we were talking about, the animal model system, to see how these alterations in the gene that can change the cell biology, the function of the cells, or the function of an animal, behavior and cognitive function of an animal.
So
and
then, go ahead.
With these understanding of this, the function of the gene and how the mechanism, the mutations, and then we, down the road, ideas can come up, say, a novel therapeutic target that we should be emphasized to design maybe a
method of treatment
based on
that finding.
Yes.
Well, you know, it's Dr. Yang Lizong James, thank you so much for coming in, the basic science researcher in the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences. It's fascinating and clearly the kind of underlying work that's necessary to make changes in the kinds of treatment strategies that we offer to kids with these kinds of problems. I wish you all the best of luck with that work, and I look forward to hearing more about it.
Thank you
very
much.
As we go forward. We have to take a short break, but we'll be right back, so please stay right there. I'm Linda Cohen, and this is HealthLink on Air, FM News Radio 106.9 and 570 WSYR.